Stanichova versus Holder. Ms. Benno?
May it please the Court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Heather Benno, and I represent petitioners Ivanka Stanichkova and Georgie Naumov. Now, despite the fact that credibility remained an issue before the immigration judge and before the board, both the government and petitioners agree that credibility is not an issue now. The board presumed petitioners' credibility, in fact, at the end of its decision, finding petitioners credible in response to their argument about on due process grounds. What this case is really about is about the harm that flows from an aggravated violent sexual assault. And
are there cases in which courts have found persecution based on a sexual assault that did not go beyond disrobing and groping the victim?
There have, Your Honor, and thank you for raising that.
But there are cases the other way. The case law is it's chaos, right?
With regard to sexual assault or persecution or withholding of removal.
Well, we have this other case. What is that case? Well, I can't. Opinion by Judge Bauer begins with B. I seem to have misplaced it.
Bays, Brukage. There are a number of sexual assaults.
Right, and that's very much like this case. And he said, well, no, it's not very much. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. It's the Zeeve case, N-Z-E-V-E. But he's got people, I mean, he's got these soldiers beating up a guy, kicked him, struck him with the butt of a gun, threatened to silence him forever. And yet our court said no persecution. So I don't know. What should we do to try to bring some coherence into our persecution jurisprudence?
The law on persecution? Oh, I wish that it could be that straightforward. Unfortunately, today I was prepared to argue about the law with regard to sexual assault and persecution, which is a little bit more clear. And unfortunately, speaking to persecution generally, what Nazeev found, what this court found in Nazeev, was that the petitioners...
No, but you see, the problem is, some of these cases, like Zeeve, they're just looking at the quantum of violence. And if you're just being beaten up, they say, well, just beaten up, not persecution, just beating.
The difference is motive.
Which I think is ridiculous, but there it is. Yeah. And so what are we going to do with this?
So why aren't you saying, you know, it's actually n-dimensional chess. I mean, you know, you've got certainly the level of violence. If somebody, you know, has been called a rude name, that's probably not enough. And another dimension certainly has to be the link to one of the protected categories. It can't be random violence. It has to be because of your membership in, you know, that magic five things. And maybe there are other dimensions. And it's actually, I think, difficult to come up. I mean, if you were writing our opinion and you got to the part that says, here's the law of persecution, this is when it's enough, this is when it isn't, I think that's what Judge Posner was asking you to draft for us. What would you say?
Okay, I'm going to start a little bit narrower with sexual assault, and I believe, and I think that the petitioners have argued in their brief, that with regard to persecution and sexual assault, there should be a bright line. There should be, generally, this court's case law has...
Why should assault be treated differently from beating people with sticks or guns or, you know, batons or what have you?
So there has been disagreement in this court's decision on whether it, you know, mild disagreement on whether it should be treated different or whether it should not be.
Well, why? Okay, so look, the difference, of course, what they did to the woman here, quite very offensive. On the other hand, it doesn't cause a physical injury. In this Zeeve case, they beat this guy with batons, kicked him, struck him with the butt of a gun. Now, that's not offensive in quite the same way. I mean, yeah, that's not...
Well, is it?
Well, wait a second. Let me finish. That's not, it's not the same sort of embarrassing kind of thing as a sexual, as what they did to your client. But of course, being beaten is very horrible, right? So why is it that one wants to, why not say these are two forms of physical assault that are very disturbing to people, whether because they hurt physically or because they're just very embarrassing to have your clothes ripped off by a man. So why do we want to treat them separately? Why don't we just say that any kind of, you know, politically or religiously motivated government sponsored or government condoned activity that goes beyond harassment, beyond discrimination, is persecution?
Well, Your Honor, I'm not...
Do you want to argue against that proposition, or do
no,
you want to
I'm
accept that
to,
as...
Your Honor, I'm not here to argue to overrule Nazeev. What happened in Nazeev was that this court found that there was not... that basically the immigration judge's decision was not supported by substantial
evidence. I don't get
evidence.
That. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I don't like that decision, but it's the only decision
the cops
that the
board
relied on.
They burst into the person's house. They beat him up. They threatened to kill him. That's not enough.
Well, the immigration judge examined the specifics in that case, and
I
it is
the
burden
you
the of
specifics.
To put forward
I gave the specifics.
Evidence.
I don't get. I gave you the specifics. What more do you want?
Well, those were the specifics that the board examined, and the
well,
board upheld the
if they're allowed to examine those specifics, say no persecution, why aren't they allowed to do it in this case?
Well, Your Honor, if I may, I think one distinguishing factor between, and one of the most important distinguishing factors between Nazeev and the other case law, very much focused on the deferential standard to the immigration judge, is that in those cases the issue did not arise as to whether or not the immigration judge actually considered all of the harm that was suffered by the petitioner in that case. Instead, the court embraced the deferential standard, acknowledging that the immigration judge viewed all the evidence in the record and that there was, your court found that there was substantial evidence to support that decision. In this case, what actually happened is that by minimizing, and there's another case out of this court, Nakubika, which is the case of a Ugandan housekeeper who was not in fact sexually assaulted. What happened was her hands were tied during a similar home raid. The officer unzipped his pants and then was told by a superior officer to not rape her. And in that case, based on the level of harm that she was trying to present to the immigration judge, this court found that the harm that she presented was not adequately examined and therefore remanded the case, even though she didn't suffer a direct sexual assault. And that case is very much analogous to the case that we have here, even though this case is more egregious.
So you want a remand for what?
For an analysis of the harm that they actually suffered.
Well, I thought that your position was that when you look at the immigration judge's opinion and the board's, that there is trivialization, slapped by an open hand, pajama top ripped, and it was, in fact, much more significant of an invasion.
That's exactly my position, Your Honor, and that the harm was not completely...
And then you have to say, and had they fully appreciated it, then they would have understood. What could you, before your time expires, I would like you to address the link between this incident and political opinion, because that's, of course, one of the government's other positions.
Yeah. Well, in this case, in fact, the board recognized and acknowledged that since credibility was not an issue, that the testimony that the petitioners gave on specifically the comments that were made by the attackers and also the comments that were later made by the police officers, that those should be given full weight.
So like you didn't go to war with this or something like
that? Yeah, the Macedonian soldiers, paramilitary officers, said to my clients as they were being assaulted and as Ms. Danishkova was being sexually assaulted was specifically that the assault was because he's not man enough to have Macedonian children, a threat in reference to the pregnancy, was that the attack was because they did not participate in the war, and that they're not real Macedonians. Further, at the time when my client, Petitioner Naumoff, refused military service, the Minister of the Interior of Macedonia was committing atrocities against Albanian, ethnic Albanian villages, including murdering over 100 people in one village alone, and was later brought up on war crimes charges. So my client maintained before the immigration judge that his refusal for service, and then later being put on a roll and publicly acknowledging the fact that he supported the Albanian demands, was an expression of his political opinion. And the same was true for his wife, who publicly expressed the same opinions. And I'm going to reserve I guess I don't have time.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Benno. Mr. Zeidlin?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Benjamin Zeidlin on behalf of the Attorney General. The Court should deny the petition for review because the record does not compel.
How do you define persecution?
Well, Congress, when it
I'm asking you, how do you define persecution? So don't tell me about Congress.
Persecution is an extreme concept. It requires threats or harm to life. It could be economic persecution, threats to one's liberty. Those would be the definition.
Well, that, of course, is obviously incomplete, since persecution would include, you know, denial of religious freedom.
Well, Your Honor, that would be, there'd be persecution, and it could be on account of one of those five enumerated.
The point is, persecution is not limited to physical force, which is your definition. It includes, you know, refusing to let people practice their religion. That's a form of persecution. So try giving me a correct definition of persecution.
Okay, Your Honor. I mean, threats are an infringement of one's ability to practice religion, threats or prevention of one's to exercise their own liberties and freedoms.
What about holding a political opinion without having the police break into your house and come close to raping your wife who's pregnant? Suppose somebody said everybody who votes for the Democratic Party in the next election is going to be subject to police harassment.
Well, Your Honor.
We think that was intolerable, wouldn't we? I mean, that's a form of persecution.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And isn't that what happened to these people? They supported the Albanian rights?
Well, assuming that they did support the rights of Albanians by refusing to participate in the conscription for the reserve service, then the board or the immigration judge would then have to look at the harm that occurred to petitioners. And looking at that, the board, looking at relevant case law and their, you know, board precedent and circuit case law, analyze it under the facts of this specific case.
Doesn't make any sense. Compare these two. Tell me what's wrong with this. So here are three ways in which people could be harmed by because of their political views, we'll say. One would be discrimination, which is not persecution, okay, because it is too much of it. The next would be harassment, right? So suppose what they did was, well, the police follow this fellow when he drives around, and if he goes 1 mile above the speed limit, they give him a ticket. That's harassment. That's very common. That's not persecution. But it seems to me whenever they start hitting people, that's persecution. When they do it for political reasons, either condoned by the government or actually instituted by the government, that's persecution. Beating people up, tearing their clothes off, that's persecution. What more do you need?
Well, Your Honor, but
could I just add to that litany the spraying of the elderly parents? Well, not so elderly, but the parents with something that knocked them out.
Well, again, so assuming all that's in, there are no medical records to substantiate.
Oh, but where are you going? Go conceded by the board.
The facts conceded. Your Honor, this court has looked at a litany of different types of physical violence, detentions, beatings.
And we're trying to do better than that.
Yeah,
I mean, instead of, you know, decide, you know, was it 3 days that you didn't eat, you know, or were you, you know, did they break your leg or not? I mean, there's got to be some better test. Well, otherwise, it's completely arbitrary, and we shouldn't even call it law.
Well, I would disagree on this, that it would be arbitrary for the following reason. Each inquiry is an analysis of the factual background.
I may see the facts may be quite different from the way the board sees the facts. I might think that ripping the clothes off a pregnant woman and threatening to rape her in front of her husband and putting her in fear of losing her child is pretty serious conduct. Apparently the board doesn't think that's a big deal.
Well, I don't think the board did not think it was a big deal. The board specifically said that they thought the activity and the actions were abhorrent.
Well, they called it offensive and abhorrent, but they didn't do anything about it. So it was abhorrent within the zone of the
what's the theory under which this conduct, although abhorrent, is not persecution?
Well, first we have the standard of review that...
Answer my question.
I would say that the boards, after looking at the facts...
You tell me, what is the theory under which this doesn't reach a level of abhorrence that should be classified as persecution? Now, you could have a theory which said, for example, well, this sort of thing doesn't really affect people. They go about their business. They continue defending the Albanians. You could say that. Maybe you have some other theory.
Well, I would first say that the specific harm alleged does not reach the extreme level.
Why? Okay, tell me why. Why do you need a more extreme level?
The reason is because a grant of asylum is an extreme form of relief.
No, but why isn't it? I mean, the reason the statute is there is because wherever that line is, Congress has decreed that if people suffer for their race, their religion, their ethnic origin, their political views, their membership in a social group, because of those things, then they are entitled to asylum. We're party to international treaties about that. We have committed to that as a matter of law. That's not up to you or me or anybody else. So we have a sorting process, and we have to decide. So you might take the position, well, you know, one incident is never going to be enough. Now, that would be, in my view, an incorrect position, but you could say that. If you admit that one incident can be enough, and you're talking about how ghastly does it have to be before it counts as persecution, then I guess we are in this bone counting exercise. If there's no blood, there's no persecution or something. I don't know what rule you're going for, but
well, this court has said that one incident obviously can be enough depending on the severity.
Yes. Okay. So you're really helping things now.
Sir,
okay. So now tell. What is it? What is the degree? You're in the degree of abhorrence box. So how does one, the board or you, distinguish between this case and suppose you were actually raped? That would be enough. Would that be enough?
Well, Your Honor, I mean, per
answer yes or no. Is that enough?
That obviously, a rape would be enough.
Obviously enough. Why isn't this enough?
Because what the board found is that in this one 10-minute
tell me why this isn't enough, would you please?
We have a 10-minute incident.
Well, a rape could be completed in 10 minutes, right? Okay, so this...
There was a home invasion, which we're not sure of specifically what the motive was.
That's a separate issue.
But in this one incident, the petitioner screamed, the individuals stopped whatever the groping. They then asked to be pointed in the direction of money.
Well, he stopped short of the rape, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, now why, from the standpoint of, you know, whether to grant people asylum, why do you want to make a distinction between what was done to her and an actual rape?
Well, Your Honor, it's a factual analysis.
But tell me why you think that those are different cases. Why should she be denied asylum, but if she were raped, she'd get asylum?
It's not all criminal activity.
Well, tell me why. I asked a very specific question, all right? What's the difference between those two cases?
Well, a rape is there's the actual commission of the act. Here, because it didn't get beyond the assault. And because, fortunately, the event stopped, one is unable to decipher what exactly would have happened. So in analyzing, there was no harm after there was, you know, the petitioner was able to go to, went to a doctor. They determined there was no harm to both her and her husband. There was minor.
Do you think there's psychological harm to a woman who is pregnant and has her clothes ripped off her? And do you think there's psychological problems for her husband in the future, revisiting that horrendous attack with his parents unconscious and these people screaming stuff about the Macedonian government, et cetera, et cetera?
Your Honor, I would say that there'd be psychological harm for anyone who's the victim of any crime. You could look at it that way.
What if she were raped, but there was no physical harm at all?
Well, the government's position would be that the act of rape would be physical harm. I mean, I'm not sure.
No, wait a second. No. She's raped, and it's, you know, sexual intercourse, and it's, she doesn't like it. It's not consented to, but there's no damage to tissues or anything like that. So there's no physical harm.
Well, Your Honor, the physical harm standard.
Well, answer my question. So if there's no physical harm, why do you distinguish that case from this case?
Well, that's a hypothetical. I'm not really sure how to answer it, because I would say the physical harm would be psychological. I mean, it would be more mental harm.
Physical
harm?
Right. Okay, so the rape with no physical damage is a psychological harm. But this is horrifying experience for her.
And it certainly.
So why is that different from her being raped?
Well, the physical harm, Your Honor, is because this court has said when there's a single incident of harm, you must look at other factors as well and must determine whether the severity of the harm, including whether or not there was physical harm, including whether or not there were subsequent.
We're abstracting from physical harm.
I'm not sure I understand that.
There was no physical harm here, and in my hypothetical rape case, there's no physical harm.
Correct.
But in both cases, there's psychological harm, and I'm wondering why you're drawing the line between them.
Your Honor, the line drawing is for the board and the immigration judge in analyzing all the facts, listening to the testimony, to decide where it is to draw that line.
Well, it seems totally arbitrary.
Well, Your Honor, that's the way.
Why not the distinction I'm suggesting between harassment and a physical assault? You harass people, you follow them around, you know, you serve little citations on them for trivial violation, a harassment. But when you start hitting people or pulling their clothes off, that crosses a line that everybody recognizes. It's a very big difference.
And it deters people from exercising rights that the statute thinks that they have, in other words, rights to hold their political opinion or to have their religion. If this had all been done because they were Christian and not Islamic or some variant of any of those things, maybe you wouldn't have as much trouble. But it's the point is people should be free to exercise their opinion.
Your Honor, I think just to conclude, because I see my time's expired.
The board, has been for a bit.
In analyzing the facts and in the various case law from this circuit, including, you know, the case of Zhu versus Gonzalez, where an individual was hit in the head with a brick, required hospitalization and stitches, and found that that harm did not reach the level of persecution.
And you think that was a correct decision?
That was the decision of this court, Your Honor.
And you think that's correct? That sounds sensible. Rape, bad, brain a person with a brick, okay. I mean, didn't you realize it's total nonsense? Aren't you embarrassed to stand up here and defend such nonsense?
Well, Your Honor, on behalf of the government.
The government, of course, exercises no litigation discretion, right? You just defend these things. You never say to the board, this is ridiculous. Right? You never do that. You just stand up here and repeat the stuff. Take a beating. Take a reversal. Go back.
Say how rotten we are.
Right.
Well, if there are no further questions.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Zeitler. Ms. Benno, do you have anything further?
Her time expired.
You can have more time if you want.
Just briefly, I did want to discuss the difference, the supposed difference between a rape and a sexual assault. This court has not, in its prior case law, differentiated really between rape and a sexual assault, because a rape, as Your Honor alluded to, is also an offensive touching in a way. If you wanted to reduce it to all the different components of the assault, as the board and the immigration judge did in, here in this case, whether she was wearing a V-neck pajama top, all of that. But there was evidence in the record that the immigration judge did not consider regarding their psychological harm, specifically that directly within a day after this assault, petitioner Naumov went to the doctor and met with a doctor, was not only was prescribed additional physical treatment, but was prescribed psychological therapy. That was not mentioned in the immigration judge's decision. That was not mentioned in the board's decision. And this is the level of psychological harm that we really are referring to. In terms of mere harassment, I would suggest that there could even be mere harassment of a sexual nature. For example, if somebody makes a lewd comment at a person on a street, or, you know, and perhaps that might even be on account of their political opinion. I'm not sure that I would be here arguing that that was necessarily persecution. However, I think that there is a line to be drawn. Mere harassment may involve sexual contact or harassment on a ground of personal animus or some other ground, but this court has rightfully recognized that violent sexual abuse on account of a protected ground should be recognized as persecution. So for all these reasons, we do request that this case be remanded to the board.
I want to do something slightly irregular. I have a question for Mr. Zeitlin that I forgot to ask.
Poor Mr. Zeitlin, coming up.
Mm-hmm. There's something that bothers me. The board said it wasn't going to determine credibility. It was going to assume credibility. Does that mean that if we reversed, the board could go back and say, well, okay, we don't believe the testimony, so asylum denied?
No, Your Honor. In that circumstance, what would happen is the board specifically, and the immigration judge specifically found that they did not, that petitioner, and I don't know if credible is the right term, but that's what the term that was used in terms of proving the on account of element. So if the case were to be remanded, the board would then have to determine whether, and if it was remanded on the grounds that there was persecution established, then the board would look at whether or not petitioner satisfied the on account of element. So the credibility element does not affect the harm alleged, because the board took petitioners at their word for the specific harm alleged.
I see. So the credibility would be a premise that they were credible, that their account.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next case for argument.